Welcome, Lund loyalists, YouTubers watching on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective, those watching on X and Instagram and listening on Apple and Spotify. It's John Lund Unleashed and johnlundunleashed.com. Brought to you by Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Right now featuring amazing stem cell technology. For all your pain and for the guys, check out the latest in low T and testosterone therapy to make you feel like yourself again. Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center at riopelcosmetic.com. Now, all juiced up and ready to go. Here's Johnny.
I know you're going to think I'm crazy why the plane is good for the Warriors, why sometimes when you lose, you actually win. Plus, we got JK getting benched. We got draft news for the 49ers. We got Jung-Hoo Lee. Jack from the weekend. 2 of 3 from the Yankees, taking on the Phillies. Really cool piece that Todd McShay did about the trenches. We got that. What else we got? I mentioned JK's getting traded this offseason. Did I mention that? There is your show cover for episode 115, why the plane is good for the Warriors. I will explain. I got the chalkboard coming up. If you are brand new to the program, thank you. 8 a.m. sharp, or, well, exactly, 8:15 sharp on a Monday morning edition of the program. Thank you for waiting. If you were sitting in the chat room, on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, thank you very much. Please make sure that you subscribe. Hit that like button. It's very, very important. And keep those alerts on because I send about 4 or 5 pieces of content out every day beyond the show. So make sure that you want to be on alert for that. And any breaking news, we jump right on the air. I'm on call 24/7, 365. So make sure you have those alerts on as well. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, as well as Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube. You could be watching on X this morning at John Lund Radio. Thank you very much for that. You will soon be watching on Instagram. I got to get this down better, man. Instagram, you have to click that extra button for Instagram. Now we are live on Instagram as well. On Twitch, on LinkedIn, and Facebook. Facebook, you can follow me or friend request me, John Lund, and also John Lund Unleashed. Make sure you're following that page for the latest. Everything can be in one fell swoop in one little place. Just go to johnlundunleashed.com, and you will see my latest piece about why, actually, by losing the Warriors. One, you could disagree with that 100% in the room. Where is it? There it is. Right there, why playing is good for the Warriors. I'll give you the bracket, explain a couple of things, pros and cons. You can read it yourself. But there you go. That's the latest at johnlundunleashed.com. Go there for podcasts, YouTube shows, the blog, all sorts of stuff. If you want to make contact, all those social media places, very, very simple. johnlundunleashed.com and my latest, why the playing is good for the Warriors. Good morning. As you can see on the chalkboard there, episode 115, the Clippers loss in game 82 is a head scratcher regardless. Playing game against the Grizz will be on Tuesday. The path now for the Warriors in the playoffs. JK is benched. He gone. We'll get into that conversation. Jung-Hoo Lee is a star for the Giants, and then he just did it on the biggest stage with the against the Yankees. Couple of home runs yesterday, and he's off to a torrid start. So incredibly nice start. For Jung-Hoo Lee, he just might live up to that $113 million contract. Could Jung-Hoo Lee? Phillies coming up next. The latest draft buzz. Todd McShay's got a cool piece on the trenches where the 49ers need to concentrate in the playoff, in the draft. Rory finally wins the green jacket, the Caboose Pistol, which I have a tremendous story from Disney, Naked Disney Guy. Which is a great Caboose story that will that you will laugh at this morning on a Monday, and random things happen throughout the show. All I have to do is look over to the chat line, which I'm going to do roll call in just a second. And all of a sudden, I go off on tangents because people are talking about all sorts of different things about the show or not the show or whatever the case may be. So I always make sure, and we just go off random things, which means we go off the on-ramp or go off the freeway, off the off-ramp, on the on-ramp, all kinds of things. We try to keep it as much as we possibly can. But anyway, good morning, Jeff. I'm at SAC. Oh, you're going to Vegas. Very nice, man. My kid was in Vegas like 2-3 weeks ago, and I made him throw a bunch of sports bets on. He's like, Dad, God. I'm good for it. Just do it, and I'll send you the money. Haven't sent him the money. Good morning, Jeff. Good luck in Las Vegas. High skills, Baba Booey. It is great to see you. Dom, hey, good morning. Good morning, Dom. Our good friend Dom is here. We still got to hook up, man. Daniel S., former Kings fan, although they'll be the Mavericks, won't they? I would think. Hello, Mark. Good to see you. Call me crazy, but I'd rather play OKC than the refs handing out free throws to the Lakers in the first round. I agree with you on that Lakers thing. I don't want to play them until very, very, very necessary. And that could be in the second round, although I like the Minnesota matchup. Good morning, Chris. It is very nice to see you, my friend. Let's see who else. Jake is here this morning. Skills, as I said. Dom, as I said. Jared, let's go. Very nice. What else? I know I saw Joy this morning. Hurley Bird is here this morning. If I don't mention your name, I'm trying to zip through this stuff, and I will hit you at some point. Rockin' New Era 84. Good morning to you. Todd. Hello, Todd. Very nice to see you, my friend. All right. A lot of people in attendance today. Thank you, thank you, thank you for making the time. Just one more thing before we get going. Thanks for making the time. Please subscribe on John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective. Tell all your friends and enemies so we can grow the thing. Hit a thumbs up right now if you're in the room and if you're in one of those other places watching on the platform. While I certainly appreciate it if you would come over to YouTube and give us a like, subscribe so that you know when things are going and keep those alerts on. That would be outstanding. Let me move my computer out of the way. That's annoying me. There we go. That's a little bit better. All right, let's get to some things. The Clippers lost. Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a great thing. And there's two ways I look at that. Look at this. Even though I say right here why the play-in is good for the Warriors, I'll explain that in just a second. But the downside to this whole thing, and let me just throw the box score for you so it makes things a little bit easier to discuss. Plus, then you don't have to look at my face, which is pretty nice on a Monday. Like Monday can be like, whoa, can be kind of jarring. So let me just throw this up. Look, sometimes you got to give the other team credit, and down the stretch, even though James Harden is not normally the most clutch guy against the Warriors, James Harden scored 10 in the overtime, hit a couple of early threes, kind of set the tone in that overtime. He scores 39, Kawhi scores 33. Kawhi didn't look like he'd miss until there was a couple of possessions where he could have won the game, and give Draymond Green a ton of credit in that regard. But their starters, you see how they have no bench? They got 8 points off their bench. Did the Clippers. And like Chris Dunn is a guy that's been totally forgotten, was a high first round pick, and he played great defense last night. Problems for the Warriors always in defending bigs. Zubats last night, 22 points, 17 boards. Look at the offensive boards, and they killed them. The offensive boards, they had 9. There was a couple of possessions late in that game where they just got possession after possession after possession. They just out-rebounded them the whole time, and Zubats did whatever he wanted. So size was a major problem for the Warriors, and it always is come playoff time. So we'll get into that in just a second. But you care about the Warriors side of things. Jimmy Butler was Jimmy Butler last night, although 6-9 from the free throw line for him. He's a little bit better usually. But 12 of 20, 30 points. He was playoff Jimmy-ish last night. Draymond Green was good defensively, blew a layup, which we'll hear about in just a second. Brandon Podziemski, that's what you expect out of him now at this point. 19 points. 7 boards for him, 4 assists, very solid. Steph Curry was Steph Curry, 10 of 27, 12, 36 points. Okay, Buddy Hield, Kevon Looney, Gary Payton, they tightened up. It was a playoff game, and it was a playoff rotation. So if you look at that, Hield, Looney, Payton, a little bit of post, and if they're going to heat check on post, they're still going to say, is he going to give us some stretch minutes? Can he hit some shots? They're going to look at it depending on the matchup. But the bigger part here, to keep going, okay, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Braxton Key, we hardly knew you, Kevin Knox, he's never going to play, Santos Spencer, but there is Jonathan Kuminga, DNP, not an injury, not an ankle, not of this, not of that, nothing like that, he's not sick, DNPCD, got a DNPCD, and we're going to hear from Steve Kerr in just a second, so we will address the DNPCD coach's decision in just a second on Jonathan Kuminga, but let me just go to the game itself for just a minute. I've always thought about the Warriors. I mean, they've won multiple championships. They've extended this window on numerous occasions when people wanted to slam it shut on their fingers. But as I'm watching the game last night, and look, Kawhi's won championships. He's a veteran player. They had some matchups, as I say, Zubats and his size. They made plays at opportunistic times. But I expect the Warriors, with all their championship experience, and Steph does it. But other than Steph and Jimmy Butler, hopefully in the playoffs for Warriors fans, will do it. But they don't have the clutch gene like they just used to have the clutch gene. Like, I just used to have so much confidence in the Warriors in close games And whether it's, and I know they're 0-3 in the play-in, and that makes people nervous. Memphis, I'll get into in just a second, but they could lose that game on Tuesday. There's no question about it. But I expect them down the stretch to play great basketball, and a lot of times they just don't. And I scratch my head over it because they used to. They all the close games, you used to think to yourself, well, they're going to find a way to pull it out. And Curry does on occasion, but in overtime, and Curry was great in the fourth quarter, he scored 18. But Harden made the plays in overtime, and Kawhi made the plays, and Draymond blew a layup, and Buddy Hield, who I don't expect because he wasn't around for all these things, badly missed a three, and it's not on him. There were all sorts of other plays that could have been made, but you know, they just sometimes, you know, you need the key stop or you need the key rebound, which, by the way, they got badly out-rebounded last night, and I know that Draymond Green played great defense a couple of times, and Kawhi Leonard, especially on the last possession of the fourth quarter of regulation. But rebounding is a part of finishing a defensive sequence, and they just didn't rebound well enough last night. And Draymond Green can scream and yell to the rooftops that he's the defensive player of the year. Well, in game 82, you couldn't get the key rebound. And to me, that's on you. Just like a lot of times things are on Steph Curry, that defensive end, your defensive player of the year, get the key rebound, make the key play. And last night he didn't, so that was frustrating to watch. And I just think in general, this thing that we have in our minds because they won so many championships and have done so many great things, and this is not on Steph Curry, because on the final play where they needed a three-pointer, they got a missed free throw from Kawhi Leonard to get a little bit of life, so to only be down three at that point, and you know that they're just going to swarm Curry, and Buddy Hield's going to have an open look, or somebody's going to have an open look, and so you're going to have to go somewhere else. On an inbounds kind of a play, like Steph can get loose on a, you know, okay, it's a change of possession, it's the end of the game, where Steph, it's hard, you know, they make a play, whatever. But an out-of-bounds play, they're going to put three guys on Steph Curry and go, I don't care who it is, and I don't care how wide open they are, 30 can't beat us. So somebody else has to step up. That's what I'm talking about, the clutch gene. And do I expect it to be Buddy Hield? No, because he hasn't been around. But I look at the roster and I say to myself, okay, I'm looking at the Clippers, for example. Harden's going to make a play. Kawhi's going to make a play. Some of those guys, you know, they got a couple of different options. It's Steph Curry or bust for the Warriors right now. And I'd love Jimmy Butler, but he's not a guy, if you need a three, that's going to hit that shot. A lot of times in those situations, I mean, is Jimmy Butler, you know, if they needed two, I could see Jimmy Butler or potentially getting to the line, although they swallow their whistles at that point. So I guess my point is this big clutch gene of the Warriors, it makes you a little bit nervous about Tuesday night against Memphis. All right, having said that, let me pop some things on the board. This is the Memphis-Golden State matchup as we go to Tuesday very quickly before we get to Jonathan Kuminga. So let me pop that up. And, you know, does that matter? I guess it does. But the second half of the season, here's where it's misleading. The second half of the season for the Grizzlies, in addition to firing their coach with 10 games left, and the reason they did was they were 12-16 in the second half of the season. They were atrocious defensively. They were good offensively most of the year, but defensively they weren't very good. And there's all sorts of issues. And it starts to me, and this may not matter to you, but it does matter. It does affect winning and losing. Their leader is Ja Morant. The Warriors' leader is Steph Curry. Ja Morant doesn't understand the role of the leader. Look, we paid you all this money, and it's not just because you're a great basketball player. You're the face of the franchise, and then everything about the franchise starts with you and then emanates down, and your leadership determines what kind of a team we have, what kind of an organization we have, how people perceive us, how we perceive ourselves. And because you have an immature idiot who is hell-bent on showing the NBA that you can't control me. All right, dude, you win. Way to go. Tell him what he's won, Johnny. A play-in exit. Hey, great. You get to go to the Bahamas early. Like, dude, we're not the Grizzlies and no one cares around here just except for Tuesday, and then it's a big deal. So as far as the Warriors are concerned, Memphis is reeling. They fired their head coach. I wrote this piece at johnlundunleashed.com, and I'll just give you a little bit of sneak preview of it. I popped it up very quickly there. But there's pros and cons on this whole thing. Now, the biggest con in this thing is what we just talked about. If the Warriors can lose to the Clippers in game 82, if the Warriors can lose to San Antonio last week as they did, then they can lose to anybody. There's no doubt about it. But if they do what they should do, here's how I look at it. If they can't beat Memphis on a Tuesday night at home, with their season on the line, then they didn't deserve all this hype we've been giving them anyway. Like Jimmy Butler, oh my God, they could possibly go to the finals. Jimmy, you know, playoff Jimmy and Steph Curry and Draymond's playing great and all these different things. If you can't beat Memphis at home on a Tuesday in the play-in game, then you weren't worthy of this hype anyway. And then you avoid the Lakers in the first round to me. You play Houston, which is a better matchup to me than the Lakers would have been based on experience alone. I know that Şengün is a problem and they struggle with size, but there's a lot of perimeter players on this team in Houston, if they can get by this game, that they match up well against. And yes, they're going to need Jonathan Kuminga's athleticism and length in a series against Houston. So we'll see what Jonathan Kuminga does and what his mindset is. I'm sure he's not very happy this morning. But as I point out, the cons of losing, the pros of losing, Taylor Jenkins gets fired, Memphis 4-6 in their final 10. The Memphis Grizzlies have not beaten a playoff team. So there it is at johnlundunleashed.com. But I just kind of wanted to remind myself why it's a good thing that the Warriors are playing the Grizzlies. 4-6 in their last 10, 12-16 since the All-Star break. They haven't beaten a Western Conference playoff team since January 30th when they beat the Rockets by a deuce. It's not a good basketball team. They have not been playing good basketball. They've been one of the worst teams. In fact, of the 10 worst records in the NBA over the second half of the season, Memphis is 10th. 10th worst. The other nine teams ahead of them, not ahead of them, who played worse basketball, Utah Jazz, like 4-24, none of them, none of the other nine teams are in the playoffs. They're not in the playoffs either. They're in the play-in. Could they spring a surprise? Yeah, if you lose to San Antonio in the final week of the season, which, by the way, is the thing that costs you and why you have to play in the play-in game, if you can lose that game, you can lose to anybody. They had the golf clubs in the car. They didn't want to play. You allowed them to stay in the game. That could happen against Memphis. So, yeah, it's a problem. If you get by this game, though, and I've said this last week, I think getting a sneak peek at the Rockets, even though they won on April 6th, they won 106-96. And for some reason, and I think it's inexperienced by the coaching staff, for some reason, they showed their playoff hand. They showed the way they were going to defend Steph Curry. And what happened is the Warriors got an early look at that. Most teams would have been like, we're already the two seed. We'll play our starters, but we're not going to show you everything we got for Steph Curry. And they were physical against him, and Steph went 1-for-10. And I understand that. And so your pessimistic outlook in terms of playing the Rockets, if you have one, is absolutely warranted. But I think they got an early look at him. I think the Warriors are great at one of the things they're great at in playoff series is figuring a team out at some point. And early in the series, it's kind of like sparring with a boxing partner first couple of rounds, you're kind of feeling it out. Well, they got an early look at the Rockets, and wasn't that big of a deal. So all of a sudden now you look at it and you say, okay, the Rockets showed us what they're going to do. We've got to adjust off that already. They're young. They do have guys like Fred VanVleet. There's no question he's been in the playoffs. I think that they've got the one player in the NBA that everybody hates, and I think that certain player will implode at some point because that's just what he does. I don't think he's going to be a positive for the Rockets. I think they win the series against the Rockets. I don't necessarily think it's that long of a series, to be honest. And then on the other side of that, you've got the Lakers and the Timberwolves, and I think the Timberwolves are a really tough matchup for the Lakers. Now, do I think the Lakers come out of it with Luka and LeBron? I think they probably find a way, but it's a veteran team. LeBron's a veteran. You go through some things. They may have to play the Lakers eventually anyway. I'm simply saying that Minnesota could win that series, and then your side of the bracket looks like Memphis, one game win, Rockets, then potentially Minnesota, which is a much better draw to me than the other side of the bracket. I don't care what's going on with Denver losing their coach. I know that that's kind of contradictory in the way that I just talked about Memphis and their coach. I think Denver's fine. I think the Denver's a really tough matchup. So Denver and the Lakers, to me, were the worst two matchups for the Warriors to have. The Rockets are young and up and coming. I think they're a really, really good team. But their key players, guys like Jalen Green and Şengün, those kind of guys, Amen Thompson, they're really good players. They have exactly zero games of playoff experience. And I think that matters come playoff time. Having said that, I just talked about the clutch gene that the Warriors don't have. But I'm assuming at some point that rears its head, and I think that it will in the series against the Rockets. So you telling me that I'm absolutely crazy, I'm totally fine with it. I understand on this Monday morning why you would be skeptical and think to yourself, well, they're going to lose the play-in anyway. I understand that. I understand that viewpoint. Personally, I know that it's getting in the playoffs. I know that there's rest involved. People were asking Draymond Green after the game, what about rest? What about rest? What about rest? Well, they would have gotten a week off until they had played the Rockets Sunday to Sunday. To the Lakers. But the issue now is they play Tuesday, but then they're off till Sunday against the Rockets. So they're going to get plenty of the whole rest thing. That's fine. Because you're going to get from Tuesday, if you win that game, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're going to have 4 days off. So as far as rest is concerned, they're fine. And then in the playoffs, you're playing every other day and there's no back-to-backs. and they elongate the thing, especially early in the playoffs. So rest is not going to be a factor for the Warriors. And if I have to hear it, how tired guys are, I'm going to vomit. Because like I said, when I started covering the game or was on a beat for the Utah Jazz in 98, Stockton Malone never missed a game. They played 40 plus minutes. Michael Jordan in the regular season played 40 minutes over 82. And then in the playoffs, he ramped it up to like 44, 45. Never did I ever, you know, that game, never did I ever hear in any press conference, and I was in press, all of them, talk about being tired. Because if you did, Jerry Sloan would walk over to you and slap your face. I mean, it's just how it worked. There wasn't, are you tired? What is that? Next question. I mean, seriously, people would ask him that, and he would just look at him and just go, next. Like, it doesn't matter if you're tired. It doesn't matter. You've got to play, and everybody's got the same thing. And the whole point of it is to play the 82-game gauntlet and then see where you are and can you win a championship and tough it out. And now people are complaining, oh, can you play at 65 so you can qualify for the awards? Oh, that's way too many games to play. I got to play in 65 of 82, and I got to play 33 minutes a night? Oh, I hate to be get off my lawn guy, but it's like, come on. I'm not hearing it. I'm just not. I don't care. I don't care if you're old. I don't care if you're tired. Then I guess you're not a championship contender. Guess not. So anyway, they're going to get plenty of rest. That's not an issue. All right, give me your thoughts on the Warriors themselves, the Memphis game, the loss yesterday. By the way, let me play this. Here's Draymond Green last night after the game. And I don't know if this is his pissed off thing that he pulls on his ear when he's pissed off, but he was asked by Monty Poole about blowing that late game layup, which would have tied the game.
Yes. Buddy missed a shot.
Ray, what happened on the two late plays, you with the rim and Buddy coming off for that three-pointer that he didn't get going very well?
I completely smoked the layup, and Buddy missed a shot.
Was it the shot that he wanted, if he wanted, you guys wanted?
Yes. That was the play that was drawn up, and we got the look. He just missed it.
I like pissed off Draymond Green. I don't know what happens after the game. If he's screaming, yelling, ranting, somebody needs to do something to wake those guys up. The late game execution at times just doesn't work on either end of the floor. So obviously he was frustrated and he was yanking on his ear. And I think maybe that's his, I don't know, is that his trigger? I don't know what that whole thing is, but there's Draymond Green after the game. Now the big story that comes out of this, beyond 82 and it matters about the team and everything like this, but obviously everybody wants to talk about Jonathan Kuminga. Does not play. Why didn't he play? Let's talk. Let's hear from Steve Kerr.
You know, with since Jimmy got here, that we're pretty comfortable with. Gee didn't play either. You know, Gee's been our highest plus minus guy over the last 2 months. You know, both he and JK have been really impactful players for us, and doesn't mean they're out of the loop. You know, going forward, it's just this is how this game played out.
What was?
Let me play this, because this is Danny Everman asking a question.
Kuminga, like when you told him he wasn't part of the rotation tonight?
I just told him in the walkthrough that we were going to change the – I didn't tell him he wasn't going to play because I wasn't sure if he was going to play or not, but I told him that we were going to not go to the usual rotation in the first quarter.
All right, crap. Here's what it comes down to, and Steve Kerr's got to be diplomatic about it, and I tell you all the time that you have to maintain – because they may need Jonathan Kuminga, but I just know this, as far as after the season is concerned, he gone. If you can't trust Jonathan Kuminga in game 82, when you are guaranteed that you're going to play beyond this game, you're going to trust him in the playoffs. How does that work? Now, playoffs are all about matchups, so there could be a matchup against Memphis they want to use him in. They certainly, if they play the Rockets, need to use him, because Şengün is one thing, but they have a ton of guys on the perimeter. Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet and Amen Thompson, and they have a bunch of guys that are on the perimeter kind of players, and they need the athleticism. The Rockets are a really athletic team, Green and Amen Thompson especially, very athletic guys. So Jonathan Kuminga could be a factor in a series against the Rockets, and I expect them to play against Memphis, but I don't understand why the Kawhi Leonard perimeter player, Norman Powell perimeter player, Ben Simmons was on the floor. They had a bunch of guys. And, you know, I get it. Maybe he's not the best rebounder for his size and needs to get better, but you got badly out-rebounded. I cannot – and then he comp Gui Santos. Come on, man. I mean, I like Steve Kerr a lot, man, but Gui Santos didn't play. Plus minus is a hockey stat. Stop it. It's dependent on who's on the floor with you. It's a very flawed NBA statistic. So I don't give a shit about plus minus. I don't care. That's stupid. And to comp Jonathan Kuminga to Gui Santos, of course you're going to shorten up your rotation. Game 82 was like a playoff game. I get it. But there wasn't a place for Jonathan Kuminga, really. Now, I know what the numbers say. The numbers say he and Jimmy Butler on the floor at the same time, and Jimmy played 48 last night. So when was he going to play if he was playing with Jimmy Butler? Wasn't going to play with Jimmy Butler. But Jimmy Butler's playing in the playoffs those kind of minutes, too. He's going to be a 42, 45-minute guy. You might need him that much. So he can't play with Jimmy Butler. Well, Jimmy Butler's here for the next couple of years, and his contract expires during that time. So if he can't play with Jimmy Butler, what would you say you do here? So they're not going to play him with Jimmy Butler because the numbers say so. And then if he plays with Green and Butler, the numbers are even worse. Why? Because you have three players who are really not who are not shooters, who do not spread the floor. Now, Draymond Green's been hitting the three at a much better clip, and he's getting to the point where not only is he hitting the open corner three, he likes that top of the key three. He's hitting that left a lot. Still, defenses aren't going to respect that. And if Draymond Green beats you with a three ball, then teams will say, you know what? I'll dictate how I get beat. And if it's Draymond Green with the three ball, then I can live with that. They can't live with Curry hitting the three or other guys. But if you have those three on the court at the same time, they're not good enough from the outside to scare teams in a era in the NBA where all five guys got to be able to knock it down. So I understand that. Kuminga does not fit with Butler and Green. Well, Butler and Green are going to be here for the foreseeable future. And if Jonathan Kuminga doesn't fit on the floor with those guys when they're playing heavy minutes, then he can't be here. And clearly, Jonathan Kuminga next year will not be here. Because whether that report was bogus or not, that he wanted a max deal, he probably wants something close. He certainly wants something that's in the $100 to $200 million range, somewhere in that range. Now, it's a big range. I think a max is $5,224 for him. But even if it's not a complete max, it's something pretty high. And there's desperate enough teams in the NBA, because we've seen it time and time and time again, that will be salivating at his athleticism and would love to have him on their team. And so said team, he's going to be on another one next year. Clearly, game 82, and there is no minutes for Jonathan Kuminga, really? And then you comp it after the game? Well, Guy Santos didn't play either. Sorry, I don't mean to make fun of Steve Kerr, but come on, man. Seriously, you're comping Jonathan Kuminga to Guy Santos? And then you're using plus minus as something that is, like I said, is a hockey number. I just don't, that doesn't mean anything to me. So Jonathan Kuminga has clearly fallen out of favor once again. They could use him in the Memphis game and probably should. And they sure as hell would use him in a Houston series because there's so many perimeter players that he could match up against, but they don't trust him. And that's the bottom line to all of this. Steve Kerr's got this circle of trust. It's always like that. Young players tend to kind of fall out of that circle. He can trust Moses Moody and does. He can trust Brandon Podziemski, and he does. So those young players get time, and Jonathan Kuminga, it's always some sort of an excuse. Plus, the reason why I wanted to go back to the Danny Emmerman question there was he asked him, how did he react? The question was, how did he react when you told him? And Steve Kerr ignored the question, which I understand, and said, he talked about when he told him. No, not when you told him. How did he react? Well, he reacted poorly, or else Steve Kerr would have said, no, he was a professional about it. He was a total professional about it, and he understood. He didn't say that. He said, this is when I told him. He didn't say what the question was, which, how did he react, which is a great question. How did Jonathan Kuminga react? Well, I think Jonathan Kuminga, after the game, and this is what Jonathan, and this is, again, Danny Emmerman was the one who we've had on the show before, and this is JK after the game. Looks like he can shoot, by the way. Boom, boom, boom. Now, he's by himself on a court. I understand that's a little bit different than playing the Clippers or being in the playoffs. But that was a clip from Danny Emmerman. That's Jonathan Kuminga after the game putting up shots. They don't trust Jonathan Kuminga. Or at least Steve Kerr doesn't. And Jonathan Kuminga will not be here. It's game 82 against the Clippers. Win or lose, you're playing again. And you can't find a spot. There's no time. There's no place. There's no matchup for a 6'9", super athletic, jump out of the gym kind of a guy. And I understand why, because those three on the court don't spread the floor well enough. They don't elicit enough respect. And so Jimmy Butler's not a great three-point shooter. Draymond Green's hit and miss, even though he's been hit a lot lately. Still, teams are going to allow him to shoot threes and live with the results. And Jonathan Kuminga's not good enough. So Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga are kind of redundant. Now, Butler's much better, but what I'm saying in the offensive end is they're fairly redundant. And if he's not as good of a rebounder as you need him to be, or if he's not as good of a defender as you need him to be at this point of his career, then what does he do? Because what he needs is he needs to be in that mid-range game, and that's kind of where Jimmy Butler hangs out. And that's where Draymond Green should be. So where is Jonathan Kuminga? It doesn't look like there's a place for the foreseeable future. And we can sit here and make up excuses and say this and that, and his time will come. He's been here plenty. I don't care what his age is. He's been here plenty to carve out a niche, at least on this team. And if I'm him, and that question meant everything to me, as reporter instincts will go, and Steve is very, very smart. He didn't forget the question. He said, how did he react? Oh, I told him at shoot around this morning. No. How did he react? Yeah, I told him, and I told him, you know, to be ready. How did he react? He didn't say, because he reacted poorly, which I would too. Hey, JK, you're not going to be in the rotation tonight. Sorry. Maybe another time. Maybe Memphis, maybe Houston. Maybe never. But I know this. Jonathan Kuminga will not be a member of the Golden State Warriors next year. No way, no how. He went up after the game. I'm sure he was frustrated, puts up a bunch of shots, tries to stay loose, but I'm sure there was a discussion between he and his agent, and he has said this before, and so there was no reason to do it again, that he lost faith in Steve Kerr. You know, he caught a bunch of shit for that, so he's not gonna do that. He's not going to say it again. There's no point. He knows he's going to get traded in this offseason, so just keep your mouth shut. That way, you know, you're not a damaged piece of goods, so you just take a deep breath. We're going to get you out of there. That's, I'm sure, what his agent said. I'm sure that was his first call after the game in the locker room. What the hell's going on? I'm not playing. It's the most important game of the season. I'm not in the rotation. I'm not playing any minutes. I got a DNPCD. And his agent said to Jonathan Kuminga, settle down. Don't scream and yell. Go take some frustration out on the court. Go shoot a bunch of shots. Just calm down. Don't say anything to the media. You don't have to talk to the media. You didn't play. So just calm down, and we're going to get you out of there after the season. Don't worry about it. And so there's another young player, Wiseman, we understand. Lots of injuries, gone. Jonathan Kuminga soon will be gone. And so that whole, you know, two timeline thing, Jordan Poole gone. And I'm not saying that they don't develop young players, because Brandon Podziemski has developed. Moses Moody has developed. They don't have the ceiling that Jonathan Kuminga does, but clearly the Warriors want something out of Jonathan Kuminga that he won't bring to the table or can't, in regards to playing with Jimmy Butler and playing with Draymond Green. And the numbers are ugly when those three on the court at the same time, and even him and Butler on the court at the same time. And you can see why, in a league where the floor's got to be spread and all five guys got to be able to bomb threes, those three guys don't and can't. So they don't play together. Well, let's do the pecking order. Draymond Green is playing and is going to be here. Jimmy Butler is playing and he's going to be here. Signed a 2-year extension. So it's this year and two more. So in that time, Jonathan Kuminga's contract is going to expire. So who's a better fit? Somebody. Now, they're not going to get value for Jonathan Kuminga like they probably would have before, because now the rest of the league saw it. And I don't care. You can put as much lipstick on this pig as you want. The rest of the league saw yesterday that you gave Jonathan Kuminga a DNPCD, and he doesn't fit with Jimmy Butler, and he doesn't fit with Draymond Green. So where are you trading him? You're going to trade him for a better piece that fits in the puzzle better than Jonathan Kuminga does. Doesn't mean it's going to be a better player. Might be a better fit, but it's probably going to be a disappointing ending, and people won't be excited about what they get in return. Maybe, but it's going to be a veteran puzzle piece that fits better. Is it somebody who can continue to take some pressure off Steph Curry in the backcourt and maybe be another defender, you know, a 3-and-D kind of a guy? Is it going to be a stretch big? They could really use a stretch big. Quentin Post, all due respect, dude, but is it going to be a stretch big veteran guy who, okay, he's not as good as Kuminga, but he fits a little bit better than what Kuminga does, somebody like that. So that's what I expect. I expect a, you know, either a 3-and-D type, another, or a veteran stretch big, which is probably really what they need, because size gives them so much trouble. I mean, you're watching Zubats yesterday, and Zubats is solid, but I mean, Zubats just dominate. What do you have, 22-17? They were all over the offensive glass. So, you know, you look at a stretch big. Can Kuminga get you a veteran stretch big that doesn't have the potential, maybe, but is 27, 28 years old, who can fit within this current group, you know, be a starter at the five, give them that stretch ability? That's what they need probably more than anything else on that roster. So I expect Jonathan Kuminga to probably go for a stretch big in the offseason, and adios to Jonathan Kuminga. And it was fun, and there's potential, and maybe you reach it, maybe you don't, but he's not reaching it here. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. I remember I was covering the Blazers in the early 2000s, and they had Jermaine O'Neal on the team. And they had Arvydas Sabonis ahead of him, and they had Rasheed Wallace ahead of him, and they had just a number of bigs, and Jermaine O'Neal couldn't get on the floor. And he got really frustrated. He got traded to Indiana. The Warriors got knocked out, or Warriors, the Blazers got knocked out by the Lakers in that epic comeback in which there was champagne in the Blazers locker room. This is like 01. And then I saw him wheel it out of the Blazers locker room, which was depressing. But they lose that game, and they were frustrated. So they traded for Dale Davis from Indiana. Of course, Trey Jackson Davis. But they traded for Dale Davis. Dale Davis wasn't nearly big enough to body up with Shaq, which is what they wanted to do. And Jermaine O'Neal was still very young at the time. I think he was 20. And he went to Indiana, and he had multiple all-star seasons. Of course, ended his career with the Warriors, and everything worked out fine. But he was never going to reach, and he was drafted straight out of high school by the Blazers at 17. He was never going to reach his potential with the Blazers. There was just too many bigs ahead of him in the pecking order. And Mike Dunleavy, who was the coach at the time, kept saying his time will come, his time will come. But it came obvious that it wasn't. There was times where bigs would get in foul trouble. They'd go with other guys. And it became obvious to everybody that, especially after that series of losing to the Lakers, that they needed another veteran big. Was Dale Davis as good as Jermaine O'Neal? No. He was a workman-like player that I'm not looking at his averages right now, but probably averaged for his career 8 or 9 points, 10 boards, something in that range. Was a solid defender, but he was like 260 pounds, and Shaq treated him like a ragdoll moving forward, and they still couldn't get it done, even though they had a bunch of talent on that team. So they traded a lesser player, a better player for a lesser player. That player was solid, not spectacular, and Jermaine O'Neal went to have multiple all-star seasons for the Indiana Pacers. That's probably what's going to happen with Jonathan Kuminga. He's never going to reach his potential on the Warriors, and now due to the fact that Jimmy Butler has signed for 2 years beyond this, and Draymond Green has signed for a couple more beyond this, that it's clear that because Jonathan Kuminga can't play with those players, he's got to be traded. And the rest of the league knows it, and he's frustrated, and he went and shot shots, and he blew off steam, and his agent told him to chill out. And after this run is over, whether it be Memphis on Tuesday, the Rockets, the Timberwolves or the Lakers after that, OKC after that, NBA championship, it doesn't matter. Jonathan Kuminga will be traded. That was evident yesterday. He doesn't fit. And whether that's his fault or not, whatever. So anyway, there you go. All right, what do you think? Give me your thoughts on that whole thing. That is Jonathan Kuminga. Sorry, I went on a whole thing. Durant back to Golden State. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're Phoenix, Durant has made it clear, very, very clear, and I don't care what he says. He does not want to go backwards in his career so that there's a perception that he needs the Warriors. I think that's the biggest problem for Kevin Durant. If I'm Kevin Durant, do I come back to the Warriors? Hell yeah, I do. I don't care. Like, he's so worried about what other people think. I'll give you a piece of advice if you're a younger person watching today, and I appreciate you watching. Who cares? Like, you need to develop an attitude sooner rather than later of who cares what anybody else thinks. Because you know what? You come into this life alone and you leave alone. No one cares. The perception of what people think of you is their problem, not yours. And so if I was Kevin Durant, one of the things he's never been able to get over in his entire career is what people think. No one cares. When you're in the Hall of Fame, and I think about players and how, you know, I don't care. Like, you won a bunch of championships. I don't think back and analyze and microanalyze how you won them, when you won them, what was the situation. No one remembers that shit. Nobody remembers it. Nobody. Everybody just remembers, how many championships you win? X amount. Cool. They don't go, oh man, you had to go back to the Warriors. Like, that's stuff for Screamin' A and the dumb talk show things that need things to talk about and need to scream and yell and rant and make lists and Mount Rushmores and this, that, and the other. I wouldn't care about anybody's list. I got X amount of championships. I'm considered one of the best of all time. I don't care. I don't need the validation of Screamin' A or Colin Cowherd or any of these guys that are screaming, yelling. Their opinion means zilch to me. It doesn't mean anything to me. I care. If I was a player in any sport, I would just care what my peers thought, if I cared at all. Like, I wouldn't care at all, really. I would care what my teammates thought. I would care what my coaches thought. I would care what my peers thought, because those are the people who understand what it's all about, what the grind is about, how difficult it is. But just to make this a shorter, long story than it's already been, if Kevin Durant came back to the Warriors, let's say that you're the Suns and you need to rebuild this whole thing. And there's Jonathan Kuminga. That's not a bad piece. You know, he may not fit with the Warriors the way that they are currently constructed, and because of contracts will be constructed for the next few years. So he doesn't fit with those guys, so he's clearly got to be traded. But to me, I look at the situation and I'm like, I'm Durant. Like, why wouldn't I go back there? I love Steph Curry. The Bay loves me. I mean, he's too worried about, well, I'm never going to be that. Yeah, you're never going to be Steph Curry in this town. No one's going to be on the Warriors. Deal with it. You win a couple more championships, no one's going to care. But you know what? He'd rather just be the lone wolf and go from bad team to bad team to bad team that he thinks he's going to lift to the championship. And at this point of his career, as good as Kevin Durant is, he can't do it. Why? Because his availability is not great. The way that he's built, he's not built like LeBron James. I'm not saying he can't be an effective scorer for as long as he wants to be an effective scorer, but he usually misses a few games. He's got bumps and bruises and ankles and tweaks and all those kind of things. I love Kevin Durant, and he's a really effective player, but he thinks still at this point in his career, he tried, you know, he went from Golden State to Brooklyn, went to the Suns, like the next team he's going to go to. Like, it's just because it takes a lot to get him, and he's really, really good. And he might, I was just going to say the Batman Robin thing. He's probably still a Batman, not a Robin, but he needs guys around him. And it's not just Booker and Beal. That's just not going to get it done. He's got to have a better big three than that. And in order to do that, you've got to you put a bunch of money into it, and you better have a young player kind of making nothing next to him too to make that all work. Like, I could see Durant with the Rockets, right? Let's see the Warriors beat the Rockets, and they're like, okay, we need a star to put around all these guys. And all of a sudden they move a, I don't know, they move a Jalen Green and so forth. I don't know. But that's the kind of situation that he wants to put himself in. I just don't think at this point that's the best place for him. But would the Suns entertain it? I guess they would. But Durant doesn't want to come back here for some reason because of the perception, and he's worried about what other people think, which if I could give him one piece of advice, dude, when you get older and you start understanding what life is about, that trait that you have that you care about what people think about you is gone. Like, I don't care. People could hate the show, love the show. I love the group that we have. But if there's people from the outside who say that they don't like it, cool, man, then you're not going to watch. And that's fine with me. I'm not for everybody. That's the way it is. That's life. I don't need everybody to like me. And it's just like Kevin, like, I'm not copying myself to Kevin Durant, but what I'm saying is like, he's got to lose this thing where he's so worried. Oh, if I go back to Golden State, what are people going to say? Who cares, man? You're going to win 2 more titles. Stick those rings in your ears and you won't be able to hear what anybody's saying. Like, my God, dude, what's wrong with you? Bummerwood JK. By the way, I don't know if I've seen you before. I have. Raj K. Bummerwood JK. Yeah, there's no doubt. It's pretty obvious. And it's too bad the way that it's going to end. It's too bad because I like Jonathan Kuminga, and I think he can be effective. I don't know. I've said this before. I don't know that he's going to be that ultimate Batman that's going to carry a team to a championship, but he's got traits and he does work hard. He has had, for those who don't know, he's had issues with the organization. The organization has had issues with him. He's not perfect, but there you go. No, I did not. Hi, Alex. I did not choose violence against JK. Steve Kerr benched him. I mean, there's no nice way to put it. He got benched for the most important game of the season. I did not choose violence. He got benched. And when asked how he reacted, Steve Kerr said, I told him this morning. How did he react? I told him we might need him. How did he react? He didn't say. I can tell you how he reacted. He needed to blow off steam, so he went out, and I showed you the video that Danny Emmerman shot. He went out after the game and worked out because his agent's like, go blow some steam off, bro. You want to be a contributing member of society. Don't take this anger with you out into the streets. So he went and shot shots. I was like, every shot he took, this will be over soon. This will be over soon. They'll be traded. This will be over soon. This will be over soon. That's why he did what he did. It's crazy. No, I didn't choose violence, man. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. What else do we have? Yeah, Kendrick Perkins. He does such work. I heard Jonathan Kuminga is 7-2 now. Yeah, I wouldn't. That's a great point, man. I wouldn't trust Buddy Hield. I've said this time and time and time again. Buddy Hield is just a heat check. Like, when you're playing Buddy Hield, it's like, okay, get him out there like most Spades used to be. And you say, okay, heat check. Ah, he's not on tonight. Bench him. Oh, he's rolling. Stay with it. Like, he's a wild card to me. So, anyway, there you go. Give me your thoughts on Jonathan Kuminga. It's not happening to me. It's not happening. Yeah, I did see that CP3 played all 82. That's crazy, man. At his age, my goodness. Anyway, love to get your thoughts on JK. That's it. He may be a key in the playoffs in some game. He just may look down the bench and say, you know, we got to give this guy a shot. But if they play the Rockets, if they beat Memphis on Tuesday, I would be the most shocked guy in the building if Jonathan Kuminga is not part of the rotation against the Rockets. He has to be. That's an extremely athletic team, and there are matchups on both ends of the floor that he's got to be a part of. So if he doesn't play in that series, I mean, he's gone regardless. He's gone regardless. You can't undo this. You lost a game to the Clippers. You would have been in the playoffs against the Lakers. I still contend that it's actually a good thing. And you play Memphis, you win that game, and you play the Rockets. I'd rather play the Rockets than Lakers. You'd have to play the Lakers eventually, although I think Minnesota can beat them, and I like the matchup, but I think it's going to be a 7-game series. And I think the Lakers could be tired, or Luka gets banged up a lot, LeBron gets banged up a lot, those kind of things. The other side of that is Steph's thumb, which didn't seem like a problem yesterday. What was he, 12 of 20? Hit half of his three. So the thumb, it had, you know, you looked at the tape, and that's really the only reason, only way you remembered that he was hurt. And then Jimmy Butler got a thigh contusion, a bruise, when he got kneed by Kawhi Leonard late in that game, and you saw him limping around. You know, it's just the playoffs. These injuries and all these kind of things, it's like when they're asked about them, they just got to go, whatever. So anyway, there's your Warriors report. Tuesday against the Grizzlies. Do I have any other things that I need to either show you or play for you in regards to the Warriors? Warriors. Oh, there's the bracket if you want to see that. So there you go. There's your bracket. You've probably already seen that a million times. This is what the first round is going to look like. Other intriguing games there. So you look at the Western Conference, the Eastern Conference, whatever. You look at the Western Conference. So OKC waits for the 8. Timberwolves and Lakers are already set, and the Rockets wait probably for the Warriors. And then that, I'll tell you what, that 4-5, whether you care or not, the Nuggets v. the Clippers, I don't love that matchup for the Nuggets because they have a big, not that he's going to do much, Zubats, but at least you have a big to match up against Jokic, and we'll see how big of a mess they are because the Clippers are fully capable of winning that series, and the Clippers are fully capable of then, because that's a 4-5. Whoever wins that series probably plays Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is going to play the 8 seed. So Clippers and Nuggets winner to play Oklahoma City. Either of those teams can beat Oklahoma City, especially I believe the Clippers could. I think that's a tough matchup for Oklahoma City if the Clippers win that series. So anyway, there's that. Eastern Conference, they're waiting. Obviously, the Cavs and the Celtics are waiting. That's going to be massive. If the Celtics play Cleveland in the conference final, that's going to be a hell of a matchup there. Pistons v. Knicks. I expect the Knicks to win that series. The Knicks could be a problem in the Eastern Conference in short series. Bucks, Pacers, whatever. Neither of those teams are going to do anything. So to me, the East, the Knicks could be interesting. Celtics, Cavs probably are the Eastern final, but the Knicks could kind of have some say in that. Good to see Detroit back in it. They were bad for so many years. So that's the matchups in the NBA playoffs. Saturday, as you can see, Sunday would be the Warriors v. the Rockets in the Sunday game. So that's it. Plan accordingly as far as that goes. So there you go. That is your Warriors report. Hit me up on any questions and comments on that. If you're watching the show a little bit later, put the comments in the comment section. Also, you can always hit me up at John Lund Radio on X. We got a bunch of people watching on X today. So welcome to the people watching on John Lund Radio on X. You can put your comments and thoughts there. Let's move on to the Giants. So that's where we are. Episode 115. You look at the chalkboard there. Clips loss. Play-in versus the Grizz, the path, which I showed you, the playoff path, JK bench / he gone. And now we are to the Giants portion of the show. Jung-Hoo Lee is the big story over the weekend. There's Jeff Passan. Look at this. Aaron Judge, Pete Alonso was off to an amazing start. It's a walk year after all for him. Very nice. Jung-Hoo Lee, Kyle Tucker's rolling in Chicago with the Bears, Corbin Carroll. Remember the slow start Corbin Carroll had last year? That's gone. So as Jeff Passan, out of those five reports, after missing most of last season with torn labrum, Lee has been one of the best players in baseball this year for the 11 and 4 Giants, getting a little bit of national love there. This will make your day. I'm sure that you heard this or saw this, but I've got to play this for you. And I have no idea. This has always been a point of contention with me. I don't know why. And John Miller is awesome. And Dave is awesome. And Kruk and Kipe are awesome. And the home run calls are great. And there's a lot of enthusiasm. But I don't know why. That maybe it's just me because I don't have a clue what they're saying, but this is the Korean broadcast of the home runs. And it just seems like in every sport, the foreign calls, they're just so much more excited than we are. So maybe I'm wrong, but here you go.
Full contact.
Yeah.
한입 팬들을 열광케 만드는 그런 스윙이 나왔어요.
양키 스타디움에서 또 하나의 홈런포
406피트 날아갔습니다. 양키
풀카운트 카운트 원 앤 투.
자,
높은 공을
던졌어요. 이정훈 오른쪽! 이정훈
멀티홈런!
우와!
온몸에 소름이 돋습니다.
우리는 지금 이정우의 시대에 살고 있습니다.
확실한 바람이 불어오고 있습니다.
There could have been a ton of curse words. There could have been a lot. There could have been anything in there. I have no idea. But it just seems to me, and Jonathan, I mean Jonathan, John Miller, like adios pelota. Job. And he gets excited and Kirk and Kipe get excited. And, but it just seems like, I don't know, maybe it's just, maybe I'm just being biased here, but it's just, they're going crazy. So there's a few things to play. First of all, that's very entertaining. Number two, he did it at Yankee Stadium, which that's the only reason Jeff Passan said anything about Jung-Hoo Lee, because if you do it on the stage that is New York, you're going to get recognized. Now they go into Philly and let's see if he can keep it going. And I know short sample size, blah, blah, blah. You know my opinion on all those kind of things. All we can do on this show is based on what we know, this is what we report. Now, can it change later? And 2 weeks from now, I can go, Jung-Hoo Lee stinks. He'll never live up to that $113 million contract. But as we sit right now at 9:04 a.m. Pacific time on April 14th, 2025, Jung-Hoo Lee is a star. He's an American Idol type of a star in terms of you saw the crowd there in New York, like San Francisco, a diverse crowd. We've already seen the crowds at Oracle Park and how they've acknowledged Jung-Hoo Lee and how much fun that is. So he's a star in every sense of the word. He's hitting well. It's the home runs. Yeah, I don't expect him to go more than 15 home runs, 15 stolen bases. But I mean, if he could be a 20-20 guy and give you the defense he does in center field, and then there's just a buzz around it. And that's one of the things you and I have talked about many, 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 many times about the Giants is, oh, what? Like, do they have a star on this whole team? I mean, I like Logan Webb. He's got a certain charm about him, but he's not what you would call a star. And even in the days of Buster Posey, he was kind of a reluctant star. And I'm not saying that he's Barry Bonds, but I'm saying that there's a reason to go out to the ballpark. And a lot of times it's, okay, what's the pitching matchup? You know, it's, again, Logan Webb is not the most exciting guy as far as, you know, okay, he's going to, you know, throw a bunch of sinkers and it's, you know, all this and ball's going to be on the ground a lot and this and this and this and this, but he's not going to strike out 15. Like, who on the Giants makes you go buy a ticket? And that's a big deal, especially for the Giants, who believe that the star of their team is actually Oracle Park and garlic fries rather than any individual player. But Jung-Hoo Lee is that kind of guy. Like, I'm going to go see Jung-Hoo Lee play. At least that's what he was in New York. Hits a couple of home runs. They win the series 2 out of 3. He's a major reason why. And even early in the season where the numbers wouldn't indicate it, he's getting on base, he's walking, he's seen a lot of pitches, he has elite bat-to-ball skills, so he's putting it in play and he's putting pressure on the defense. He was getting on base, he was scoring runs, he's playing great in center field. Please don't run into walls. But he's given him a defensive presence in the outfield that's made everybody else out there better last year. Say what you want, Matos and Ramos are not center fielders. They love Mike Yastrzemski and Wright. They don't want to put him in center field. So it messed up everything last year when he got hurt. Not only the lineup, but also just the outfield defense. And then the second thing that is becoming very, very, very important, very obvious to anyone is it takes a minute. So adjusting from he didn't come over from Japan. He came over from Korea, which a lot of people say the KBO is the equivalent of double-A baseball. So it took him a minute to adjust to the pitching. It took him a minute. And we forget about this all the time. That we feel like, I know we don't really feel this way, but it almost subconsciously you say to yourself, well, they just pour them out of a locker and they play baseball and that's it. Baseball, 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 or whatever their sport is, right? Sport, sport, sport. They're human beings. I know you know that, but sometimes we forget. And I put myself in that same thing. Like, they're just like robots and they go out on the field and who cares what's going on off the field? It matters a lot. Ask Trevor Arias Ward if it matters what's going on off the field. It does. So when you come over from Korea, and you're trying to figure out where to eat, where to go. You don't know the language. You know, there's a lot to digest there. And he hit .262 last year, .641 OPS. So when coming into the season, I was like, he is by no means in the bank. And a lot of people were acting like he was, like, oh, Jung-Hoo Lee's going to be in center. They're going to be fine. I was like, well, his rookie year wasn't great. Now, he was one of the more unlucky hitters in the league last year. Had some really good hard contact. Ball just found its way into gloves. That's how baseball works. But at times, he looked overmatched. He just didn't look like he was ready. And, of course, lots of people talked about it. Like, it's $113 million for this guy? I just don't see it. There's no power. He doesn't steal bases. What's this guy going to do? Well, I can say this. He's a gap-to-gap hitter. He's going to hit. He could hit 40 doubles easily. He's a doubles machine. He goes line to line. He can go down the left field line, right now. He can hit it anywhere. He's going to hit it where it's pitched. He's got kind of an Ichiro type of a swing. Clearly, he's got some deceptive power. Now, going to right field in Yankee Stadium is different. You hit those balls at Oracle Park. I didn't look at the Would It Dong. Is Would It Dong still around? I didn't look at Would It Dong, but those are probably not home runs in San Francisco. I get it, whether it be the wind or the or Triple's Alley or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, hitting it into the right field bleachers in New York, that's a massive advantage for a left-handed hitter. I understand that. But they did what they did, and that's where they played. And that's the other thing, as I tell you about all the time, it wasn't like the Giants' offense was inept last year on the road. It wasn't. They had the sixth most home runs in 2024 on the road. They can hit on the road. It's just they have struggled at home, as everybody would and anybody would in that ballpark. In fact, let me do this. Let me just show you so far the Giants, and we can only go on what we can go on, right? 11-4 start. These are the numbers. Let me show you the numbers overall on the Giants. I have way too many windows open here. Standings, records. Give me the. I need the stats for the Giants. Where are we at here? Here we are. So this just gives you a little bit of an overview of the season for the Warriors, or for the Warriors, for the Giants. So here's what's encouraging. All right, Jung-Hoo Lee's doing what Jung-Hoo Lee's doing. Boom, right there. Right, 3 home runs, 11 RBIs, great. .352 batting average and 1130. Look at this, slugging's at 704 and 1130 OPS. That's not going to continue. I understand that. But they're doing what they're doing on this. Patrick Bailey's hitting 189. Lamont Wade is hitting 115 with a 184 on base. Tyler Fitzgerald started to get it going, got off to a horrendous start. Willie Adames, I'm not panicked at all. Hitting 186 with a 506 OPS, going to get a lot better. Matt Chapman is a streaky type of a hitter. He's off to a slow start. Elliot Ramos at times has, yeah, it's better than a .206 batting average. He has the number of the beast for an OPS of .666. He can be better. Mike Yastrzemski's off to a really nice start. So in their lineup, there are three players hitting. Those guys at 789. Jung-Hoo Lee is hitting. Mike Yastrzemski is hitting. And Wilmer Flores is a god at 6 home runs and 19 RBIs. Those are the only three guys hitting in the lineup. Those three. Matos has been okay at times. Sam Huff, what? Casey Schmidt guy, wish you could hit because you could be a super huge guy. Kristen Goss, whatever. So you've got consistently these three guys right here hitting. Lee, Yastrzemski, Flores. That's it. And they're still doing what they're doing. From a pitching standpoint, Logan Webb, typical stuff, has either run into bad luck or whatever, but he's 2-0 with a .263. That'll work. Jordan Hicks was roughed up on Saturday, did not pitch well. There's no other way to put it around it. Now, cold weather, whatever. Robbie Ray kind of showed as a veteran on Friday, even though the weather was really, really bad, he pitched tremendously. So Robbie Ray is off to a great start. Hicks, we shall see. Verlander not pitching well. Roop, okay, to this point. And then you look at the bullpen. So my point is that they're 11-4, and they're not playing their best. You have three guys hitting. You have one, two... I was going to say living up to their potential, not bad, but you have two in Webb and Ray pitching really, really well. The rest of the guys can pitch better, although I'm not ripping on Roop at all. But then look at the pen. All right, 129 ERA, 113 ERA for Rodgers. Rodriguez is giving up nothing. Duvall's got to get better. Miller's got no ERA. This is the guy right here. The pen is fine. Bivens makes me nervous. Trevino makes me nervous. But Birdsong right now is if there's any hiccup in the rotation. So Webb, Ray, solid. Verlander, they're going to give him a lot of rope. Landon Roop, we'll see. Jordan Hicks, one bad outing. I'm not going to rip him for it. I'd love him to be in the seventh inning. I'm going to stop with that. But you know how I feel about Jordan Hicks. We'll see. Wasn't the best of weather conditions, so let's just see. Maybe he couldn't grip the ball, whatever the case may be. He gets the benefit of the doubt for a minute, especially in the first half of the year. But as I highlight right there, 23-year-old Hayden Birdsong, guy's been incredible. He's pitched the equivalent of one game, so 9 innings, 5 hits, 9 strikeouts right there, and 3 bases on balls. He was absolutely dominant over the weekend. So Hayden Birdsong to me just kind of waiting in the wings going, I'm ready. Who's gonna flounder in the rotation? Well, right now, you have Webb and Ray pitching great. Verlander and Hicks could be better. Roop is pretty good, but there's a spot in the rotation, so he's just got to bide his time. He's been absolutely great. So my overall viewpoint on this whole thing is they've been good, not great, yet they're 11-4 because they've gotten key hits. They can be better from a pitching standpoint. Bullpen has been lights out. So bullpen, key hits, Jung-Hoo Lee, Wilmer Flores, Mike Yastrzemski. That's been it. Pretty good defensively. They've had a couple of games where they haven't been great, but generally speaking, they've been good defensively. I haven't looked at defensive runs saved or any kind of thing. I'm just watching the damn games, and they're making most of the plays they should make. There was a couple of games, you know, the walk-off game where Willie Adames had a couple of, you know, just absolute rockets hit at him. You know, that was tough. I know Fitzgerald had a key error, but they ended up winning that game. So, you know, 11-4, and you look at the Giants and you say to yourself, they could actually be better. The rotation, I think, is going to be better. The bullpen is just pitching the way I think the bullpen can. Now, is Randy Rodriguez going to go through a season with a 0.0 Blutarski ERA? No, but he's pretty good. And he might be your seventh inning guy. So you got to feel good about the Giants because of those things. Let me let's see. I put up the OPS leaders. This is the Birdsong thing if you're a nerd like I am. And I mean, his stuff has been absolutely great so far. So that's kind of the bonkers thing about it. But this is right here. This is Jeff Young, who does a good job recapping games. Hayden Birdsong now has had 9 strikeouts through 9 scoreless out of the bullpen this year. We told you that. So there it is. So Birdsong's been really, really good. They can be better. That's what's scary. But then again, the Padres and the Dodgers and all that kind of stuff. By the way, did you see the Dodgers on Saturday? Cubs beat them 16-0. Their worst home loss at Dodgers Stadium ever. 16-0. You enjoyed that, didn't you? You absolutely did. All right, give me your thoughts. Phillies coming up next, by the way. Phillies coming up today. I think it's 3:45 for the Phillies. So there you go. So that is the latest on the Giants. Needless to say, based on where we are with the Giants season, very encouraging. Because it's not like everybody's hitting 400 and all the pitcher, you know, all the starters are going 9 and striking everybody out. Webb's been really good. Ray's been really good. Bullpen has been lights out. 3 guys are consistently hitting in Flores, Lee, and Yastrzemski. Other guys are going to get going. Willie Adames is hitting below 200. Matt Chapman's batting below 200. There's going to be guys, Lamont Wade Jr., who I'd like to replace, and I've said it consistently, but Lamont Wade Jr. is not going to hit 114 for the season with an on-base percentage under 200. It's just not going to happen. So there's a lot of guys who can get going. Now, is Jung-Hoo Lee going to keep doing what he's doing to this point? Is, you know, Wilmer Flores going to hit 60 home runs with 180 RBIs? No. I mean, that's what they're on pace for. So, those guys are going to slow down, but Wilmer hit 4 home runs last year. He hit 23 the year before. He's obviously a guy who can hit 20-plus, so he's looking pretty good. So, there you go. Verlander will be better too. I hope so. He's 42, so I'm not sure, and he's a great name. He seems very confident in talking to him a couple of times after starts this year, so we'll see. But it's not bad. let's just highlight that just because it's fun. 2 touchdowns and a safety. Yeah, they lost to the Cubs Saturday, 16-0. 16-0. Let's see. Yeah, totally enjoyed the Dodgers losing. Everybody did. I was like, 6, did you see this? Because it was on national TV. I was flipping around and I'm like, oh, I'm watching this. I think when I tuned in, it was something like 7-0, and I'm like, we're watching this. And there's no doubt. Let's see. Tacky, good morning to you, my friend. Good to see you. Pine Needle. We do have to talk about the Masters, and I will at some point. Let's see. Walker Duvall close. Yeah. I just look, Duvall doesn't have to be the closer. He doesn't have to be the guy that he was, but we just need to nail down the 8th. And if he can't do that, then they're going to have to move. And Randy Rodriguez is going to have to be that guy. And then maybe, you know, maybe there's a team that believes Duvall can be something. And maybe you can pick up a, I don't know, first baseman or something. Cause I just wish Casey Schmidt could hit. Cause Schmidt's not bad. Obviously at first base, could play all over the diamond, could be a super U guy, but he, you know, I know he hit a double yesterday or something, but man, if he could hit, then you could be doing something, because Lamont Wade Jr. is just, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, he's rough to watch right now. Lamont Wade Jr. is rough to watch right now. And look, I'm not a huge fan. Haven't been for a long time. This isn't late night LeMond of 2021, but still. I mean, it's like, bro, come on, man. And like you said, when you're when he comes up to the plate in key situations where he always seems to do this season, you're like, just a decent at bat. Like he just, you know how we would work counts and do all that kind of stuff, and at least he would do that. He's not even doing that this year. It's rough, man. Yeah, the number of the beast, 666. That's Ramos's OPS right now. Got to get off of that. It's got to be 665. It's got to be 667. You got to get it off of that, Iron Maiden. You got to get it off of that. What else do we got? Yeah, look, if I'm a Giants fan right now, let me bottom line the Giants for you. If I'm a Giants fan right now, I'm very encouraged. I don't care about short sample sizes. There's going to be a lot of players who are going to play better for the Giants. The three guys that are hitting the way that they're hitting, Mike Yastrzemski is a streaky guy. He's going to go through the downs. Absolutely. Jung-Hoo Lee can't maintain this, but it's really good. And Wilmer Flores is not going to, I don't know what it, he, six home runs equals to the point of games they've played, but he's not hitting like 60 home runs. But as long as Wilmer Flores isn't what he was last year and he's more the year before, he's proven it. If he's a 23 home run guy as he was 2 years ago with some clutch hits in him, that's the Wilmer Flores, and he's done that before. So it's not like he's not going to, you know, he's got 19 RBIs, which is among the league leaders. He's not going to continue that. But if he's Wilmer Flores that hits 23, knocks in 80 from the DH spot, then yeah, I can live with that. And the more Lamont Wade struggles, the more I'm thinking to myself, Wilmer Flores needs to play more. And this is from the guy at the beginning of the year was like, oh, Wilmer Flores, come on, man. So they may have to play him more. And maybe in certain situations, and when you overexpose the guy, then he starts to struggle. So maybe he is in the perfect spot. You don't want to expose him more. But when Lamont Wade Jr. has non-competitive at-bat after non-competitive at-bat and is hitting a .114, that's a problem at any point in the season. So give me your thoughts on the Giants. Let's see. Jung-Hoo Lee, 2-3 from New York. Phillies. Oh, latest draft buzz. Let me do this. Latest draft buzz. I think there was a mock out today by PFF that I put in here. Yeah, this is PFF's latest mock draft with the Niners. I just don't think Membu's going to be there. 49ers haven't drafted an offensive tackle since 18. That was our good friend Mike McGlinchey. 37 years old, 15th season. We know that. PFF run blocking grade on outside run, a concept the 49ers deployed on 50% of the run plays. How about that? 80.7 Pro Football Focus run blocking grade in what the 49ers do. So that's absolutely huge. I don't think he's going to be there. I think he's absolutely going to be gone. So that's too bad. But that's what they're projecting. But here's what's really cool. Let me show you this. And I suggest you go read this if you are a draft aficionado of any way, shape, or form. So I've told you this before. Todd McShay blocks off his mock drafts, but lets you read, formerly of ESPN, but lets you read some of his stuff here. So this is free to read. So I'm not stealing money from Todd McShay. If you go to his Twitter page, you'll be able to see this, but it's the McShay Report. And so he's got a mock draft that I won't pay for right now. But this is really cool because what he did, and everybody loves comps. I love comps. You love comps. Comp, comp, comp. So what he does here is offensive and defensive line, which the 49ers badly need, are going to draft a bunch of guys. So, for example, Mason Graham, he comps to Quinnen Williams, the Jets. Put some traits up there, both good and bad. Derek Harmon's a guy that has been talked about. Walter Nolan to Milton Williams, who just signed that big contract. Kenneth Grant to Jordan Davis. I was hoping he was going to say Dexter Lawrence, but he said Jordan Davis, which, eh. Darius Alexander, Grover Stewart of the Colts. So anyway, I love this. And they're just quick hitters. And this is by Todd McShay. So they're going to, these names that you see on your board here, they're taking one or two of these guys. Turner scares the hell out of me just because he's got ability, but it's not always evident. This is the guy I like, Omar Norman Lott. He was part of a deep rotation at Tennessee. And so you didn't see his numbers be absolutely huge, but I love his comp there. Kobe Turner of the Rams, who's really, really good. So if you could get this guy, maybe fourth, fifth round, possibly. Other guys, Jordan Elliott. So then this is what he does. Then he goes to the offensive tackles. He goes to Membu of Missouri, and that's who I said was a draft crush. Darnell Wright of the Bears. Been okay. So he talks about best. This is what's interesting to me, because it doesn't mean that Tom McShay's right, but he's been doing this a long time and was Mel Kiper Jr.'s right-hand man for a long time. So this is what he says. Might be the most talented offensive lineman in the draft. Well, he could possibly play left tackle in the pros, best suited for right. Unpolished, may take a little bit of time. And then talks about his athleticism, blah, 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 blah. So What I want out of an offensive tackle that the 49ers would potentially grab is I want him to eventually be able to play left tackle. He says he can't eventually play left tackle. That makes me nervous. Will Campbell to Jake Matthews, he can play left tackle. This big kid from Minnesota, I'd love Orlando Brown is a massive dude. Simmons to Broderick Jones. So anyway, Kelvin Banks is a guy that a lot of people have talked about. He comps him to Elijah Vera Tucker of the Jets. Now, look, that's not a bad comp, but he's not sure that he can play tackle, and that makes me a little bit nervous. He says, blah, 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 blah. He's just not a finished product yet. Somewhat surprising considering he started 42 games at a position at the highest level of college football. You have to really believe in your offensive line coach and his ability to get Banks ready for game one of the NFL season if you elect to use a first-round pick. So he's saying he's raw, and he's saying he's maybe a guard. So that makes me a little bit nervous. Connor Lee, that's a better comp, a less technically sound Rashawn Slater. Slater's good. So that might be a guy, if that is an accurate report, that they could get later on in the draft, play right tackle, then left tackle. So anyway, he's got something on everybody else. And then he's got interior offensive linemen, which the 49ers need, and talks about comps and a few things on each. It doesn't do it too much. This is the guy from Arizona that I like, Jonah. Blah, 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 blah. And I don't know that that's a great comp. But he says right here, a thickly built, heavy-handed, tough guy. Love that. And nastiness you look for in a starting guard. He also held up really well in pass pro at right tackle. I love his versatility. Plug-and-play starter at guard who can also kick out to tackle in a pinch. Vastly underrated. So that guy I really like. Jared Wilson, the center, was comped to Zach Frazier. Had a really nice year this year in Pittsburgh. There was one other one that was comped to – there was a comp to Dominic Pooney. Where is it? Steve Avila, there it is right there. Gray Zabel, North Carolina, North Dakota State. That makes me nervous because that's where Trey's from. Dominic Pooney was the thing. So he can play center guard or tackle. They wouldn't draft him at 11, either second round, or they'd trade back into the first or drop down. But yeah, a lot of people like this guy because he's really versatile. Anyway, that's dorky. I get it. But that's a nice piece to read by Todd McShay, because McShay, what he normally does is he puts everything behind a paywall. And so that's a freebie. So I didn't steal anything from Todd McShay. He puts his mock drafts behind a paywall. I don't need to see them that badly. And so I don't pay for them. Because, I mean, it's time for a random part of the show. Like, we all look at our, you know, we don't look at one bill like we used to at Comcast. It's everything. It's like you got your regular stuff. We use YouTube TV. So then it's, okay, we got to have Netflix and we got to have Paramount and we got to have Amazon, and we got to have, I mean, it's all this stuff that you got to have. So it kind of fools you because they just come in and it automatically comes out of your account. You don't really think about it. Whereas before, you used to get a Comcast bill and you're like, $300. Oh my God, I'm cutting the cord. And then you felt great. You're like, oh, I cut the cord. Woo! And then now it's just like, it's just coming in different ways. So you don't even notice it because it just automatically comes out. You're getting whacked just the same. It's just, it's coming from different places and your account's being rated $11 here, $15 there, $12 there, $8 there. And it's like, boom, 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 boom. And then the same thing with a paywall. So, you know, I pay for The Athletic and I pay for The Chronicle and I pay for, and it's like, I'm not paying for Todd McShay's mock drafts. That's enough. Like, I'm getting nickeled and dimed on the TV side, or they, you know, whatever, the content side that way. And then I got to turn around and I got to pay, you know, five for this, 10 for that, 12 for that in terms of reading stuff. And then when you do a podcast, there's all sorts of, in a YouTube show, there's all sorts of stuff you got to pay for as well. You got to have a platform to do it on. So you got to pay those guys every month and you got to have a, you know, service to cut up cuts. And then, so like every single day I look at my bank account ever dwindling and it's always like $8, $10, $12, $4, $6. And I'm like, and it's just like, you're constantly getting poked and you look at the stuff that you're buying and it's like, oh my God, I'm getting nickel and dime to death in every aspect of my life. Oh, and you got to have a DoorDash pass. What's that? $8.99 up DoorDash pass. So like everybody's thinking, okay, by itself, $6, $8, $10, $12, $15, $20, not a lot. But then it's constant. You know, you're just being pecked to death by like everybody. And I don't know why I went on a tangent about that just because Todd McShay, but it's like now Todd McShay's got a paywall for his mock draft. I'm like, sorry, dude. You know, ESPN Plus, I got to sign up for that because I can't see Mel's mock. And I got all sorts, you know, so they're putting stuff on a paywall. It's like, no more. Todd McShay is the line for me. Not looking at your mock, but I do like his interior offensive line, offensive tackles, and defensive line. And he did it in a short, concise way. So you might be asking yourself, hey, Lund, you've been doing these mock Mondays. I'm doing one later today, but I'm going to change it up. I'm going to do a mock draft. I know it's dorky, but I'm going to do a mock draft the Wednesday before the draft. So what's that, 10 days away? I'm going to do one more of those. the day before the draft when we get all the information in. But today I'm going to write a different, I'm going to do a 49ers round by round and players, like five players that should be available in each round, and do like a Todd McShay little breakdown of all those guys. Because I did two mocks already, and it's like, it's just, I would be doing a mock draft just to change things up. Not that anything has really changed in a week. So I'm going to do that, and then I'll do the mock draft on the Wednesday before the draft. Does that make sense? I think that's a better way to do it. Could be wrong. All right, so here's where we are. Episode 15 is we're about an hour and 15 into the show. It is episode 115. Clippers loss, we've discussed. Playing game versus the Grizzlies on Tuesday, I feel good about, but could they lose any game? Yeah, they just lost to San Antonio at home. They just lost a game to the Clippers in game 82. They kind of had to have. The path now, JK benched, he gone. I don't expect JK to be here next year, although if they do play the Rockets, I expect him to have a role in that series because they have so many perimeter athletic players that he'd have to play, I think. Jung-Hoo Lee is becoming a superstar, and it helps when you do it at Yankee Stadium. 2 of 3 from the Yankees. Philly's up next. I would be optimistic about the Giants because there's a few players playing very, very well, specifically as far as the back goes. We just mentioned Jung-Hoo, but Wilmer Flores is tearing it up. Mike Yastrzemski's playing well, but Willy Adames, Matt Chapman, and others, Lamont Wade Jr., haven't gotten going, and expect them to, especially in Adames and Chapman's case. Pitching-wise, two of your pitchers are pitching outstanding in Logan Webb and Robbie Ray. The rest could be better. The bullpen is lights out. And the bullpen can continue to do this kind of a thing. So it's not outrageous to say they're off to an 11-4 start, but man, they can't maintain this. They can. And in fact, I think when it comes to starting pitching and a lot of the hitters, they can actually be better. Even though Jung-Hoo Lee is not going to do what he's doing and the entire season, I don't think. And Wilmer Flores is not going to hit 60 home runs as he's on pace for, but I think the other guys are going to pick it up offensively. My point overall in the Giants is they're not doing extraordinary things. They're doing things that are across the board. I don't mean individual, just across the board. They can be this good or better, and they're off to an 11-4 start. So that's pretty good. That's good. Talked about the draft. McShay piece is very good. I would suggest that. So make sure that you read that Todd McShay piece. Talks about interior and offensive linemen and tackles. Also talks about defensive linemen. Gives us a comp and a brief good and bad about each player. So it's really well done. I would think to check out that. Finally, to Rory. He finally wins his green jacket and has accomplished the career grand slam. It's not that I don't like golf. I do. I like to play. I like to watch. I'm your typical fan, probably, in that on Sunday I'll watch the end, you know, coming down the stretch kind of thing. I can't do what my dad used to do. My dad on weekends, and you know, he was out of town probably 3 weeks out of a month. He was a traveling salesman and he was out of town a lot. So him and my mom would go out on Friday and Saturday nights, but on Saturdays and Sundays, he would get up early, cook a big breakfast, do whatever, fixing around the house, a honey-do list, go, you know, do some things. I would like mow the lawn and help some things outside. He loved to work outside and all that kind of stuff. And that was his Saturday. And then by early afternoon, he'd either watch some baseball, and he loved to lay on the couch and watch golf. He could fall asleep faster than anybody I'd ever seen. So he would, for a lot of people, golf relaxes you. You know, they're talking, and he's got a 3-foot putt here. It's going to left and right. So that would put people to sleep, and it does me. And so he'd be out in like 2 minutes. Even though he loved to watch golf, it was a loud snorer. So you'd be watching ball with him just because, you know, I was like hanging out with my dad. You know, he's not here during the week, so I'd hang out with him on the weekends. You'd be talking to him, and 3 seconds later, like, oh, my God, how did he just fall asleep so fast? And golf did that to him. It does the same thing to me. I just went like, yeah, okay. It's not that I don't like it. I like the sport. I watched the end of the Masters, and it was cool to see him finally do that. He's somebody that you're like, okay, can he win it? Can he win it? Can he win it? Can he win it? And he does. So really, really cool. It doesn't commandeer my day. It doesn't change my life. I like it. It was cool to watch. But in terms of the, you know, the following the whole, all, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I don't even really pay attention till Sunday. Like, I read up on it. Obviously I'm on social media. I know what's going on in the tournament, but I don't turn it on until like back 9 on Sunday. And that's exactly what I did. So big for Rory, really cool. I don't know what people, you know, people want to talk more about it. Interesting. You can. But that's my take on it, is that I think it's cool that Rory won. I think it's a great storyline. I just don't generally talk about golf a ton on the show. I like to play. I enjoy it. I get it. I've covered golf tournaments. I mean, I understand. It's just, for me, It's nice. It's relaxing. It doesn't do it for me as much as like the Warriors are playing for the on the weekend or the Giants have a big series in New York. It's a, you know, it's a third story for me, even though nationally I know it's a big deal. So that's what I think of it. If you want to hit me more, that's fine. Caboose Pistol is amazing today. I got to be totally honest with you. Hang on. Let me go out to the comments. Caboose, by the way, don't go anywhere. Like if you got a meeting, if you got somewhere to be, if you're bored, hang on. I got something for you. That's really good. What else we got? Let's see. Oh, yeah, exactly right. That's what always happens. Forget to cancel PFF, $220 surprise. That's why I go month to month. Because a lot, I know you get a discount if I do it yearly, but it's like, I just, you know, maybe I get bored of it. Maybe I don't like it. You know, it's like, I'll pay the extra to just go month to month. Because you're right. Because you do the yearly too. See, that's one thing. You forget about the monthly and you get hit for $20 or something. You're like, damn it, I meant to cancel that. That's one thing. You forget on the yearly thing, like I do Apple Music or something. And I'll keep Apple Music. I can't remember what it is, $199 a month or $199 a year. And you get hit with that $199 and you go to your bank. You're like, who's that $199? Oh, yeah, that's right. So you're down $200. That's fine. Let's see. Mock draft stuff. Do a mock draft with the 49ers round one and see how it shakes out, more realistic. Yeah, I've done two of those. I did two PFF mock drafts. They're up at johnlundunleashed.com. My latest one, let me see here, which I did last Monday. I still have this up here. Is that 2.0 or 1.0? Oh, that's 1.0. But anyway, I have two of them up there right now, one and two. And all I would be doing is rearranging chairs on the Titanic, just to rearrange chairs on the Titanic. And I'm not going to do that. It's not the Titanic, but you get the idea. And so I'm going to do a different approach today. And then Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, so 10 days from now, I'll do an overall final mock draft. And that's what I'll do. So that'll be three total, which is plenty of mock drafts. So there's that. All right. Before I give you the sweet, clean, family friendly Caboose Coastal that I'm not overselling, that you have to stay for, because I love these kind of stories. Remember, it is my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. Riopelle Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center, two things that we're doing in our household. And that's why I'm going to put the QR code up there. So if you click on that right there, you can go to the website at Riopelle Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. RiopelleCosmetic.com is where it's going to take you. One, my wife is doing the stem cell. I'm doing low T, which is low testosterone. And people, we laugh about this all the time. It's like, oh, you're going to be like Barry Bonds. And it's like, no, it's not that. It's that they're going to take a blood sample real quick from you. They're going to assess it and say, okay, yeah, you do have low T. They're not going to blow it through the roof like you're 22 years old. You're going to do a quick procedure. It's going to last about 3-4 months, which is great. And then you come in maybe three times a year. That's all. And you feel like yourself again. Lose weight. Metabolism's faster. You're not cranky. You have the energy you used to have. It's not going to, like I said, it's not going to blow you through the roof. You're not going to be 22, but you're going to feel great. You're going to feel like yourself again, which is what was huge for me. I'm like, look, I'm not trying to be 22. I just want to feel like, you know, I want to get out of bed and I'm not lethargic and I have energy and it's great. So it's a great procedure. Low T. Dr. Riopelle is the one to go see for it because he is, after all, a doctor. So it is great, and it's worked well for me. And then my wife, she's doing the stem cell. In fact, she came in. She was in San Diego last week. I had the place to myself, and she came in. First thing she said was, man, went on a vacation. Normally, because like on planes, it'll give her trouble. Her shoulder, her elbow, she's feeling absolutely great. She's had stem cell a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago now, and her shoulder's feeling great. Her elbow's feeling great. Normally we go on vacations and she was doing a lot of walking in San Diego on the beach and all that kind of stuff. Her foot feels great. So she's done all three of those things with Dr. Riopelle and the stem cell. So maybe you've had some blood spinning done before, something like that, PRP. It's the PRP, but then they put the stem cell in there. And I'm telling you, you're going to feel great if you've got certain pain. So click on that QR code again, Riopelle Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center at RiopelleCosmetic.com. If you click on that QR code, it's just going to take you directly there. So thanks to our fine sponsor, Riopelle, and great people, good friends of mine. And I highly recommend, plus they do other procedures. That's not just what they do, but Riopelle Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Go to the website and see all the different procedures. They don't just do the two I've talking about, but we have personal experience in those. And that's why we like to talk about them, but they do all sorts of different procedures. So go to the website and check it out. All right. I've made you wait, so let me play the fancy open here, not video clips. I need the background music, and we'll play a fancy open, which will not get flagged by YouTube, which is nice. And we'll tell you about a story that happened at Disney over the weekend. Where is my open story of the day? Unleashed Barrel Emergency Show Open. Come on. Where the heck is it? I don't know. There's a long list of stuff. Got to find this. It's Caboose. Come on. Where's the Caboose pistol? It's not that down. It's not down. Jeez. How can I? I've got to play it. I've got to. Oh, there we go. Finally. Eesh. Here we go. Caboose pistol time.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
Yo, Caboose pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose
pistol? I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
Ah, thank you, thank you, thank you, voice lady. Here's the story. I got a video, too. Naked Canadian wacko, which, by the way, wacko, very underutilized word. Naked Canadian wacko arrested at Disneyland after scaring visitors on drugged up vendor cops. I don't know what drug he's on. I would like to know what drug he's on. Look like a middle to older aged man. I never understand these kind of things. And I've been as drunk. I'll be honest with you. I've been as drunk, drugged up, used many different substances in my youth that I certainly wouldn't do now. I've cut the drinking down to a manageable level. I don't really do drugs. Back in the day, it was like if you offered me something, you know, experimentally in my early 20s, I'd probably take it without much thought. So I've done some things, understand. I have never have I. Removed my clothing in public in terms of, you know, I got so hammered that I decided that was the way to go, you know, taking mushrooms, things like that. Like I just, that just isn't me. Everybody's got a different personality. I maybe get more introverted than others would, everything like that, but that's kind of how I react to things. But I've never taken my clothes off. I have paid friends of mine at football games to, you know, we put a kitty together for someone to streak on the field. So I understand it. You know, those kind of things. Other people do it. That's fine. I don't understand getting naked, deciding, you know what, I'm really hammered. Time to get naked. Like I do have one friend in particular, now that I think about it, one of my best friends. His name is Jason, and he's just one of those guys that, like, he gets hammered, and all of a sudden you look up at a party, and he's naked on the table dancing around. I don't know. It's everybody to each their own. I've never been that guy, but here is Naked Disney Guy story at 11.
Custody after trespassing at Disneyland and roaming around naked. That's video of him there. This happened yesterday at the park's New Orleans Square. Workers tried to steer away visitors from that very disturbing sight as that man climbed one of the buildings, exposing himself to the people below and anyone within view. He was arrested shortly after for trespassing, public nudity.
We just show that again. Like, he is just having the time of his life right there, Sergio Blip, or whatever that guy's name was. Sergio Dip. Time of his life.
The man
life.
Is in custody after trespassing at Disneyland and roaming around naked. That's video of him there. This happened yesterday at the park's New Orleans Square. Workers tried to steer away visitors from that very disturbing sight as that man climbed one of
very
the buildings, exposing
sight.
Himself to the people below and anyone within view. He was arrested shortly after for trespassing, public nudity.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he used the right term. They're a very disturbing sight. It's a naked guy. Like, I would have laughed at it. I would have taken video of it. Disturbing. Disturbing is like plane crashes. Disturbing is like car crashes. Disturbing is, you know, murder scenes. I think those are disturbing. I don't know. Naked guy is funny to me. I mean, I wouldn't do it. You know, I don't know what he was on. That seemed to me, if I had to guess, that's like acid, mushrooms, something like that. Like, you don't get that high. Like, getting high and taking off your clothes, again, I'm different. I would do the opposite of that. I mean, a bag, you know, like hiding in a bag of Doritos or something. But I mean, if I get really high like that, I'm just like, nah, like I don't want to be around people really. That seems like, you know, the euphoric nature of that. I don't think that's just drinking. Maybe it is. I do. Like I said, I have a good friend that when he gets hammered, he's naked up on a table, dancing around, shaking what he's got. Like that's not me. So maybe that could be drinking. It probably is more like mushrooms. Let's go to Disney and on mushrooms and ride some rides. And then just the guy was just like tripping hard, you know, bad trip. And he's up on there. Cause that's crazy. I don't think that's drinking. I could be wrong. They did say drugs. They just didn't say what drugs, at least from what I read. So anyway, naked Disney guy. Look at her comments. I always love playing the Sweet, Clean, Fame, and Fear in the Caboose Bill, so I'm getting comments on that. Let's see here. Disturbed. But I mean, you know, he called it disturbing. Or trying to put it disturbing. And I'm like, I don't know. We're right here. That's what I was trying to do. I don't know. I don't know if it's disturbing. I think it's funny. Like I said, there's other things that are very disturbing that are like stick in your mind. Yeah, Disneyland. Sicko is just a great word, isn't it? Sicko. He's a sicko. Anyway, weirdo, sicko. You don't normally see that. What else? It's a small world after all. Somebody should have started singing that. Not that guy. He wouldn't have cared, clearly. I mean, you know, everything was blurred out, but that would have been really funny if they would have said that. That's a big blur spot. Yes, absolutely. No, that is not me. Like I said, I'm the opposite of that. I'm like, keep your clothes on. Like, the more I drink, the more I smoke, the more I take, you know, whatever. My clothes are staying on. Like, I'm more self-conscious than ever. Like, are you kidding me? In fact, I want to put a big hood over my head and be like, nobody talk to me. That's kind of what I am. Not drinking wise, but I, like I said, I don't overindulge as much anymore. And I've never been that person who does that. Anyway, there you go. That is your Sweet, Clean, Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. Naked guy at naked guy at Disneyland. So there you go. What else do we have? Anything else? Let's see. Yeah, they're all the, please no one come over to It's a Small World or whatever. That was the New Orleans thing or whatever that they had. Anyway, there you go. That is your Sweet, Clean, Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. And that is episode 115. Unless you have anything more to say on the chat line, episode 115, Clippers lost, play-in versus the Grizzlies, the path, JK benched, he gone, Jung-Hoo Lee, superstar, 2 of 3 from New York, Philly's up next, latest draft buzz, McShay piece, which talks about offensive and defensive linemen in depth, very, very nice, plus they have a comp, which everybody loves comps, who's that guy like? Oh, Rory finally wins the green jacket, Caboose Pistol, Sweet, Clean, family-friendly, naked Disney guy, and random things that happen throughout the show. What else? What else? Anybody else? Anything on this Monday? Did I play everything for you? Kerr, JK getting up shots. Jung-Hoo Lee, Korean calls. By the way, do those need another? That's awesome. That's awesome. There's no other way to put it. Just awesome. All right, if anything breaks throughout the day, remember, I will be back. Keep those alerts on because today I got a lot of work to do. Put a couple of shorts together, got a short video that I'll put together. I'm going to be posting a new draft piece, although it's not going to be a mock. I'm going to wait till next Wednesday to do that, a week from this Wednesday, day before the draft. But I am going to put a nice piece together for the draft at johnlundunleashed.com, so make sure that you check that out. Make sure you are subscribed on all the channels, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, Bay Area Sports Collective. Please go over there and give us a follow because all the shows, Tom Tolbert's there, Polly's Particles. By the way, Polly is on at 11 o'clock today. What are we at? 9:46. Polly will be on later today, as will Tolbert. So make sure that you click on those and give us a follow there and do the alerts. Remember, up right now at johnlundunleashed.com, I told you why the loss to the Clippers could actually be a good thing. Why playing is good for the Warriors. So by actually losing, they could win. You can check that out. Fancy graphic, pros of losing, cons of losing. So check that out right now at johnlundleash.com. And then I will add later the draft piece, which I'll do later today as well. And I'll put an accompanying video with that. So that's what it is. All sorts of stuff. Good morning, James. New people in the building today. New people in the chat today. We'd love you, by the way, to check in on the chat if you're watching on other platforms. You can check that out as well. But thanks for watching today on Instagram at John Lund Radio, X at John Lund Radio, Twitch as well, Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We will see you later today when I post more stuff. If nothing breaks, 8 a.m. tomorrow on the show. Please stay tuned on the Bay Area Sports Collective at 11 o'clock for Polly Max Particles. Polly Mac will talk weekend, and they'll talk with, of course, Creative Tony as well. So make sure that you stay tuned for that show. Tolbert as well. All those things at Bay Area Sports Collective. Everybody have a wonderful Monday. Happy Monday to everyone. And we will talk to you soon on John Lund Unleashed.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!